are saying. Wanna sail with the light of day, sailing through my garden, sailing through the trees, sailing through my garden.
Welcome to Story Garden. My name is Lucia, your host. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, a listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Story Garden comes to you every first and third Thursday. Story Garden features local kids reading stories they love. Thank you for tuning in. Today, I'm going to be reading some books, because all my friends are on spring break, so... The first one I'm going to read is Bats at the Beach. Sun slips down and all is still, and soon we can't tell sky from hill. Soon, now from barn and cave and rafter, bats pour out with shrieks of laughter. The rising moon can grow no fatter, as sky lights up with gleeful chatter. Quick, call out, tell us all you read. The moon is just perfect for bats at the beach. Soon we've got our buckets, trowels, banjos, blankets, books, and towels strapped on of our backs and underwings. Have we forgotten anything? Launching out into the breeze, we sail above the darkened trees, flying fast to wet our feet where land and foamy ocean meet. At last we hear the deep bass thump, and waves on the seashore crash and bump. Now the shoreline spreads below, we pull wings in and down we go. How delicious, oh, how sweet, to feel warm sand beneath our feet. Quick, set up, spread blankets on sand. We want to get going when fun is at hand. We hurry down to test the ocean. Don't forget the moontan lotion. What's the first thing we should do? So many games before the night's through. Like playing with the stuff we find, which others must have left behind. Bearing sands from chin to knee, we're scratchy where no sand should be. Making friends from other places with different foods and different faces. Or sailing into terrific heights, taking turns at being kites. Little bats dig their sand caves deep, and old bats lie in the moon asleep. There's really no more thrilling ride than surfing on a summer ride or sailing through the wing boat races with salty sea spray in our faces. Now it's munch time. What's to eat? Baskets grown with yummy treats. Beetles, ants, and milkweed bugs. Crickets, moths, and pickled slugs. Damsel flies or salted skeeters. No room here for picky eaters. Bugmellows toast on slender sticks while cousins do their ocean tricks. And later on, though stomachs hurt, we'll try a snack bar for dessert. Quick, don't miss it. The old bats are singing the bat songs that they have learned when they were first winging. Music rolls on, but no more games, as embers pop within the flames, and little ones climb onto leathery lap and determined to rest, but not to nap. Then east sky purple, sun is coming. At last a few notes of banjo strumming. Bring our beach end and night to an end. Say farewell to newfound friends. Pack our things up, shake the sand out. Give the noisy gulls a handout. Quick, let's go, let's fly away. We've got to be home before it's day. Flutter homeward, drained and weary. Small bats doze off, tired and weary. Daybirds start to chirp and peep. Now back to crack and service creep. We sigh and snuggle close together and to dream about the moony weather. Shh, now sleep. The moon's out of reach. The night was just perfect for bats at the beach.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right. Oh, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Hey, little darling, it seems like here since it.
Welcome back to Story Garden on KZFR. The book I just read was Bats at the Beach. Now I'm going to read The Boy Who Was Raised by Librarians. Melvin lived in the Livingston Public Library. Well, he didn't really live there. He just spent lots and lots of time there. He wanted to know a lot about everything. He was curious. And the library is a wonderful place to be if a person is curious. Everything had a place in the library, and Melvin liked it that way. His favorite books were always in their places, lined up on the shelves like soldiers, and his favorite people were always in their places, behind the reference desk. When Melvin was barely tall enough to see over the counter, he started going to the library after school every day. He made sure to stop by the reference desk to chat with the librarians. They were always happy to see him. "Hi, Melvin," Marge said. "How is school today?" Betty said. "How's the weather out there?" asked Leola. Marvin loved librarians. Whatever he was interested in, they were interested in, too. "Where can I find some information about snakes?" he asked one afternoon. "Well," said Marge, "how would you like to raise a snake all by yourself? Here's a great book, Raising Snakes in Your Bathtub, From Cute Baby Racers to Big Ugly Cobras." Betty chimed in, "Here, dear, an arts and crafts book, making snake skin purses, shoes, and other matching accessories." "Hey, snake poems and blessings," added Leola, and she found 42 snake websites in just 3 keystrokes. And that's how librarians are. They just can't help it. That's why Melvin loved them. In first grade, Melvin and his class went on a field trip to a real field. That afternoon, he ran to the library to show his friends his treasure, a big mason jar filled with all kinds of bugs. "Look what I have," he called, and as he burst through the library doors, "can you help me identify them?" Melvin tripped, and the jar sailed across the room. All 87 specimens of caterpillars, cuties, and creepy crawlies were loose in Livingston Public Library. Marge, Betty, and Leola quickly organized an emergency rescue squad. The bugs were retrieved, identified, classified, and cataloged within 20 minutes. "How did you do that so fast?" asked Marvin. "That's how we are," explained Leola. "When we see chaos," began Betty, "we organize and catalog," finished Marge. "It's in our nature." She pulled out a field guide to insects and handed it to Melvin. To apologize, Melvin gave the librarians a lovely bouquet of flowers, picked in the library's garden. Then he stopped to examine the aquarium next to the circulation desk. "Don't put your hand in the fish tank," Marge warned him. "But I was wondering," asked Melvin, "how many kinds of fish are in the whole world, in all the lakes, and all the rivers, and all the seas? And how much does the whole world, with all the dogs and all the cats and the houses and the cars and the tractors, weigh?" The librarians were very busy with other patrons, but Leola knew just where to find some answers for Melvin. She sat at the computer with Melvin, and they found answers together. She couldn't help it. That's how librarians are. In second grade, Melvin was cast as an enormous eggplant for a school play. He practiced his part with the librarians. "Now say your line again," said Leola as she shelved the new catalog award winners. "Project your voice to the back of the auditorium," said Marge in an alarmingly loud and clear voice. "But be natural," said Betty. "Try to look like you're not acting." She read out from Organic Gardening magazine to help him find his motivation. The audience gave the enormous eggplant a standing ovation. Melvin attended all the library programs. He was always the first person to compete in the summer reading program. He loved the after-school specials and the Reader Guys book club and movie nights. He came to all the story hours, no matter the hour. But spend the night at the library party was the best. Betty read the kids a bedtime story. Melvin curled up in his sleeping bag near the encyclopedias. Surrounded by thousands of books, he felt rich and happy. In third grade, Melvin started a baseball card collection. He would spread the cards out on a table in the library and organize them into teams, players, and rookies. Betty showed him how to store them in an acid-free, antifreeze-approved boxes, and Leola found him a prize guide on the internet. They couldn't help it. That's just how librarians are. In fourth grade, Melvin entered the complete and unabridged A to Z spelling bee. Marge suggested he read the 100th edition of Words to Know every day after school. Not surprisingly, he won first place. In fifth grade, Melvin won both the gold and the silver trophies in Know Every Town, City, State, and Country in the Solar System Geography Contest. Marge, Betty, and Leola were so proud of him. They couldn't help it. That's just how librarians are. In sixth grade, Melvin entered the extraordinary, completely out of your mind science fair. The librarians helped him find information about all the projects that had ever won, that had been ever won. Melvin came up with a winner. In seventh grade, he was picked to be So You Want to Be the Smartest Kid. Marge, Betty, and Leola burst with pride as Melvin answered questions so fast that it blew out the circuits on the computer keeping score. Every day after school, year after year, Melvin came to the library. When he was in high school, he even got a part-time job there. Marge, Betty, and Leola cried with pride and happiness at Melvin's graduation. "That's our boy," said Marge. "We helped him learn," said Betty. "All those books," said Leola. After Melvin went to college, he missed the Livingston Library and his librarian friends. He wrote them letters and emails about the books he was reading and all the things he was learning. Years later, another boy came to the Livingston Library and loved it. "Hi, Sterling," Marge said. "How was the field trip?" Betty said. "Did you need help identifying those bugs?" asked Leola. "We can identify, organize, and catalog in no time. We can't help it," said Livingston's newest librarian. "That's how we are."
Listen, I'm most heaven, West Jamaica, sure is a mountain shining down the river. All my friends there, holding on those reeds, young and then the mountain, going like a bee.
Welcome back to Story Garden on KZFR. I just read The Boy Who Was Raised by Librarians, and now I'm going to read The Girl Who Heard Colors. Jillian loved the world with all of her five senses. She loved the tickling touch of her bunny's whiskers on her cheek. She loved the taste of warm maple syrup on waffles. She loved the smell of wet grass. She loved the sight of wild geese flying across the blue sky. And she loved the sound of their honking. But what she loved the most was seeing the colors of everything she heard. When she heard a dog barking, she saw bright red. When she rang a bell on her bike, she saw silver. When the wind in the trees blew soft gray, the wind in the pine trees blew soft gray, the rain sang light purple. Soon, Jillian was old enough to go to school. She loved school with all of her five senses. She loved the cool, slippery feel of the floor and the tart taste of her apple at snack time. She loved the smell of markers when her teacher wrote on the whiteboard. And she still saw colors for everything she heard. The sound of the school bell was as orange as a pumpkin. Her teacher's voice was as green as a frog. At recess, the children sounded as gold and brown as leaves on the trees. Then one day, something strange happened. A lunchbox dropped on the ground, on the floor, and everything in it fell out with a loud clatter. "What was that?" asked the teacher. "Yellow," Jillian replied. The children stopped what they were doing and looked at her. "Yellow? A spilled lunchbox is yellow?" They began to laugh at Jillian. Jillian felt sad with all of her five senses. She felt the warm tears on her cheeks. She tasted the salt of her tears on her tongue. She smelled the spilled grape juice. The children laughed harder and harder. When she heard their laughter, she saw inky black. Her teacher was worried, so she told Jillian's parents. Jillian's parents were worried, so they took her to the doctor. The doctor examined her ears and eyes. There was nothing wrong with them. "Whatever can be wrong with Jillian?" everyone wondered. Jillian whispered softly to herself, "I am as sad as a cloud." Then came music day. The musician opened his bag of instruments and handed out tambourines and cymbals, a tin whistles and cowbells and maracas and drums. The children took turns playing all of the instruments, except Jillian. She covered her ears and squeezed her eyes tight. "What's the matter?" the children asked. "What's the matter?" said her teacher. "What's the matter?" asked the musician. And Jillian said, "I'm hearing too many colors at once." "Hearing colors?" the children exclaimed. "What do you mean?" "When I hear sounds, I hear colors," Jillian told them. "Me too," said the musician excitedly. "When I hear sounds, I see colors too. In fact, lots of people have that very special sense. Even has a name of its own, Cynthia." When Jillian heard the musician say the word, she saw every shade of blue. She began to smile. The musician smiled. Her teacher smiled. All the children smiled. Jillian loved the world again with all of her five senses, and her extra special one. And that's a really cool thing. Many famous artists have that, including Tori Amos, Duke Ellington, Jimi Hendrix, David Hockney, Billy Joel, Lady Gaga, and Stevie Wonder. It's really cool.
Mana.
Thanks for tuning into Story Garden. I'm your host, Lucia. I just read The Girl Who Hears Colors. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, a listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Stay tuned for Face the Music, and remember, think fast and grow slow.
They're hip to your tricks. It's been doing